I saw your potential before. God sees something, saw something in us before we were born. He had a plan, He had a purpose for us before we were born. We're growing up and we're living our lives, whether it's a young kid, a teenager, even getting it sometimes into adulthood, and we really don't see necessarily our purpose in life, the direction that we're supposed to be going. But you know what? When we tap into God, we tap into His Word, and we start believing that He is a God and He does have a plan and a purpose for my life, because He said He does have a plan and a purpose for my life, I can say, okay, God, there's potential. You saw something in me. You saw that I have a destiny. The potential that You placed on the inside of me, it may not be fully grown yet, but I know that as I go along my merry way and I start getting into Your Word and reading the plan and the instructions that You have for my life, I know that that potential, that seed that was planted on the inside of me after I was born, but You knew before, but after, I know it can continue to grow to become what it is that You've called me to be. I want to read this one verse in three different translations. And it's Ephesians chapter 2. And it's going to be verse 10. And we're going to start with the New King James Version. It says, "For you are His workmanship." You, as born-again believers, you are His workmanship. He formed you in your mother's womb. He's forming you as we go along. Even here today, He's continuing to form us. He says, "For you, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." When we were born again, we became a new creature, something that never existed before. The old man that we used to be, he's dead. He's dead. He's gone. But it says here, created in Christ Jesus. I was born again. Created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I want to read it in the Passion Translation. It says, "We have become His poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny He has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One, even before we were born." Kind of connects with Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Before we were born, He knew us. So even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. The last translation is the Voice Translation. It says, "For we are the product of His hand. Heaven's poetry etched on our lives, created in the Anointed Jesus, to accomplish the good works God arranged long ago." He saw something in us long before we were born. Saw something in us. There was a destiny that we were designed to fulfill. There was potential that He saw in us from the very beginning that we were to walk in. And it says here that we were to fulfill, that we would do to fulfill. These works that He's talking about, that's our destiny. The works that He's talking about in His Word here, that's our destiny. As believers, this is what we were designed to do. And we have the potential to do it. Potential is, it's not something that happens. To reach your potential, it doesn't just happen overnight. It's something, it's a seed. I mentioned to the group back here this morning. Potential is a seed that is planted and that grows over time. As we water it with the Word, as we water it with prayer, as we water it with our time that we spend with God, it's watered over time. And He gives us instruction with regards to this destiny in order to reach the potential that He's called us to walk in. I've mentioned this briefly in other messages. One of my favorite places to vacation to is Traverse City, Michigan. If you look at Michigan, it looks like a mitten. Traverse City is up here in that corner, the northwest corner of Michigan. And I like going up there in the summertime. It's been 90 degrees here and more, and a little bit humid here lately. Up there in a lot of the stores, they don't have air conditioning because it stays that cool throughout the summertime. One of my favorite places to go. But up there, there's also a place called Sleeping Bear Dunes. And it's a sand dune that's 164 yards uphill. And you get up there on the dune, and you start at the top, and you see all kinds of people climbing this dune. So you run down this dune, and as you're running, you're hitting that sand, you get down to the bottom. And when you get down to the bottom, you're looking back up, and you see the people struggling to get back up to the top of the dune. Well, this dune, it seems like for every step that you take and you climb, your feet, they slide back about 6 inches. For every next step, it slides back about 6 inches, and it's like this for 164 yards, and you're climbing that thing. So me and my youngest daughter, we decided, well, Carrie, she the smart one, she stayed at the top on the deck and watched us go down the dune. And so we get down to the bottom of the dune, and we thought, okay, we're going to climb this dune. So we start climbing. I think she might have been 10 or 12 years old at the time. I don't remember how old she was. But anyway, so we start climbing this dune. And I get about 30 feet up this dune. And I said, what in the world did I get myself into? I mean, that's been almost 20 years ago. I'm thinking, what in the world did I get myself into? So I'm climbing this dune. I'm 30 feet up on this 260 or 164 yard climb. There's a long way to go yet. I sat down in the deck or in the sand. I started to panic a little bit. How am I going to get back up there? Are they going to have, like on the ski slopes, they send down these rescuers to rescue people on the ski slope. Are they going to have to rescue me to get me back up to the top of that hill in that sand dune there? But you know what? She's up there at the top. And I just kind of want to relate this to what God sees in us. She saw a potential. She always has seen potential in me that I can do anything that I put my mind to. And I do. I make things happen a lot of times, and I'll spearhead a lot of things to make them happen. But she's up there at the top of the dune as we're starting to climb, and I'm sitting 30 feet up, and I got a long way to go. You can do it! I believe in you! And I'm sitting there thinking, be quiet! But she kept yelling down encouraging words to me, you know, and encouraged me. She didn't yell down, hurry up! I'm going to miss my time at the pool. She didn't do any of that. She's just constantly yelling encouraging words to me, you know, talking about, you know, you can do it. I believe in you. But all the while, I'm sitting there, what in the world did I get myself into? I don't know if I'm going to make it up there. But she saw that in me. She saw the potential in me. And, just in a lot of different things in our life, things can be hard. You know, just like this dune, I'm climbing this dune. It was hard. And, but there are things in our life that can be hard, but God has placed something on the inside of us there. He placed a destiny. He said, I knew you before you were born. He said, I called you before you were born to be fill in the blank. And so he saw the potential in us long before we were born. She's seeing the potential in me as I'm climbing this thing, even though in the moment I'm thinking, I got to find a way out. A helicopter or something has to come get me. I'm not sure what it's going to be. But the sand was constantly moving as I'm climbing. It's constantly sliding back every time. Sometimes in our lives, as we're moving forward in the things of God, it seems like we're getting slapped in the face and knocked back. Things are constantly coming against us. You know, just circumstances and situations. You think, I'll never reach where God wants me to be because things and people and circumstances are constantly saying, stop, you can't do that. But God has placed something in each and every one of us to say, yes, you can. You can do it. But, Carrie knew what was on the inside of me. She knew that I could make it. And so what did I do? I stopped there for a second, and I just looked up the dune. And I saw other people ahead of me that were climbing it. And they were doing it differently than what I was doing it. I was trying to climbing up the thing. My feet are sliding back. I looked at them. They're down on all fours. They're on their feet, and they got their hands, and they're climbing with their hands also. And I thought, well, gosh, that looks like they're moving along pretty easy. So I started doing it. I thought, wow, this is a lot easier. And so I looked at that person ahead of me and said, I got to catch them. So I caught them. And after I caught that person, I thought, I got to catch that person there. And all the while, you can do it! I'm still thinking, quit it. Just be quiet. I'm working as hard as I can here. But she spoke affirming words. She spoke things that never discouraged me. Surround yourself, if possible, with people like that. The Bible says, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. If you hang around people who are constantly negative, people who are constantly telling you you can't, people who are constantly saying you're not good enough, then you're going to hang around people that they will form who you become. But if I hang around, like what Carrie was yelling at us as we're coming up that dune, and I think I beat my 10-year-old daughter to the top too. But anyway, going on. But she's yelling words to me as I'm coming up there that's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear, you'll never make it. You're too old. You shouldn't have went down there to begin with. I'll get the rescue team. I don't want to hear stuff like that. I want to hear, you can do it. I want to be around people who say, you can do it. Matter of fact, you can do it, and how can I help you? That's what we need. Those are the people we need to surround ourselves with. You know, when it's hard, say you can do it. I can do it. God put something on the inside of me. He saw potential on the inside of me. He placed a destiny. He called me long before I was in my mother's womb. He knew me and appointed me to fulfill a certain thing in this world, to affect the people of this world. When I wanted to quit, I couldn't quit because I kept hearing somebody say, I believe in you. I had to keep on going. I didn't want to be embarrassed and have to be taken off the side of that dune. That's what I really didn't want to do. But she did her part, and I did mine. And working together, I made it to the top. I fulfilled my destiny. The potential that was on the inside of me was finally manifest. And so when I got up to the top of that dune, there was celebration. No, I collapsed on the ground. Give me a water. I need something to drink. No. But when I did finally stand up and I looked off the dune and I saw Lake Michigan down there, there was three different shades of blue as it went out into the lake there. And just to look down at that, you're like, oh man, this is great. I'm glad I made it to the top. Because once I got up to the top, things were beautiful from up there. And God is the same way. He's got a plan and He has a purpose for our lives. And when we pursue that plan and purpose that He has for His life, for our lives, man, things are beautiful from the top. Now, when I found out later that if I would have went down to the dune, I could have played in the water and walked along the shore there. And I found out later that if I'd have walked down the shoreline a little bit, there's a parking lot down there. And I could have told Carrie, drive the car around and park it there, and I'll walk the little shoreline, and I'll meet you there. Well, I didn't know that at the time. So I climbed the mountain. I climbed the dune, and it was hard. And sometimes we need to do hard things. We don't want to do hard things sometimes, but sometimes we need to do hard things. It builds character in us. It builds perseverance in us. It causes us to reach out to what it is that God's called us to do. Sometimes the things that God's called us to do, they're not easy. It's not easy sometimes to stand up at work and be that one that says, I'm born again, and have people talk bad about you. Where I worked at the prison, there was people like that. I mean, the atmosphere there was not good. And I'm not talking about the inmates. I'm talking about staff. You know, there was an atmosphere of alcoholism and divorce and just all kinds of things going on in there. And one guy in particular that if you profess to be a Christian, he made it his life's mission to ridicule that person. Now, somebody says things about us. We're not being persecuted in like some of these other countries are. But sometimes it's not easy to be a Christian. Sometimes it's not easy to stand up and say, I believe in God. But you know what? Sometimes we need to do the hard things. Because when we stand up, that's fulfilling the destiny that God's called us to do. And it's affecting, whether they will admit it or not, it does affect the lives of those people who may be ridiculing you. When times get hard for them, they look for that person that stood during that tough time. During those hard times, the person who didn't take the easy way out, the Christian who didn't just sit in the corner and be quiet and not want anybody, don't look at me, I'm not a Christian. Just like Peter, I don't even know the guy. Sometimes it's hard. But God sees us, and His plan for us doesn't change. We're going to look at Jeremiah. We've been kind of referring to this. Pretty much all the verses except for one that I have today are Old Testament. But we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 1, starting with verse 4. And it says, the Lord gave me this message, Jeremiah. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. I saw potential in you from the very beginning. I had a plan for you from the very beginning. Each person in this room, God saw you before you were born. He had a plan and a destiny for each and every one of you from the very beginning. He's placed a supply in every person in this room that they are to use to affect the kingdom of God, and he placed it in you from the very beginning. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you're less than. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you're no good. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you don't have what it takes, because God knew you before you were born, and he called you to fulfill a purpose for today. When I went to Bible college, I was older when I went to Bible college. I wasn't old, but I was older. I was supposed to have went when I was 17 years old, and I didn't go. Life happened. 40 years later, I went to Bible college. But before I went, I thought, man, I'm too old to go. You know, what do I really have to offer anybody? The Lord reminded me. He said, well, how old was Moses when I told him to go back and deliver the children of Israel? And I said, 80. He said, you're not 80. You've still got life left in you. And he went back, and Moses did in that day, a huge thing for God. He called him. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter if you're leading 2-3 million people like he did out of Egypt, or whether he's saying, go over to the park across the street from where you live, take your Frisbees with you, and go talk to those 7 teenage kids. It's no different. And so that's what I decided when I went there. And I thought, you know, I was supposed to go when I was 17, and I had the dean of the college tell me, he said, no, now is your time. Okay, now's my time. Let's go from here. But it says here in verse 6, O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. This is Jeremiah. I can't speak for you. I'm too young. Jeremiah didn't see the potential that God saw. He didn't see it at this point. It's something, like I said, potential. It's something that it's developed over time. I'll use Pastor Hagin. Pastor Hagin wasn't the president and senior pastor of Rhema Bible Church and Rhema Bible College yesterday. Didn't just happen yesterday. It happened over a period of time. He served as his father-in-law's associate, cleaning bathrooms, fixing doorknobs, fixing gutters, fixing shingles on the roof, sweeping the parking lot, mowing the grass, trimming the bushes, all those different types of things. Well, now he doesn't do so much of that anymore. There's other people doing it, but it was something that started over a period of time. But he says, the Lord replied, don't say I'm too young. I would say, don't say I'm too old. Too young or too old. For you must go where I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. If he has spoken, we can take it to the bank. He said that you're to go. I'm sending you, for you must go wherever I send you. He's saying the same thing to us today. You must go wherever I'm sending you. You must say whatever I'm telling you to say. In verse 9 it says, then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I've put my words in your mouth. Woo! If we're trusting him, and we're going to go and do the things that he's called us to do, fulfill the destiny, reach the potential that he saw in us, and he says, I'm going to put my words in your mouth, man, you ought to be jumping right now. To say the things that he says. When we read in John 16, 13, where it says the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to reveal all truth to us, and then it says he will only speak what he hears to us. Well, where is he hearing it from? He's hearing it from the throne room of God and speaking it to us. So we're getting it, we're getting word directly from God to us. And then he'll show us things to come. So he says, I put my words in your mouth. He's still doing the same thing today. I put my words in your mouth. This word of God, I put my words in your mouth, and I'll show you how to use it. When you're in a situation and you don't know what to say, as long as you've put this in your heart, in your spirit, he says, in that moment that you need it, I'll stir that back up in you, and it'll come out of your mouth, and you'll speak it out toward whatever the situation is that you find yourself in or find coming against you. That's all a part of the destiny that he has for us. The direction that he's taken us. And he sees that what he's placed in us, he sees that coming about. And we need to start seeing what it is that he sees. Going on here, it says, then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. I'm appointing you to do big things. God has appointed each one in this room to do big things. What's your big thing? Talking to your neighbor over your fence, maybe. What's your big thing? Going to Bible college. What's your big thing? Going out here on the street corner with a guitar and carrying a cross behind you and singing on the street corner. Maybe that's a big thing. Maybe that's something God's calling somebody to do. I don't know. But he's called us to do big things. He knew before we were born, knew us before we were born, and he appointed us to do certain things. He's known each person in this room before they were born, and he's appointed you to do certain things, and he knows that the potential for you to do it is there. We have a choice to make as to whether we do what he's called us to do. We can do it or not do it, but if we jump on board with what he's got going, he says he'll put the words in our mouth, and we'll stand up against big things, and we'll win every time. He says, some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others must be built up and plant. So to reach your potential, there are things that you may have to deal with. There are some things that you'll have to get rid of. Things that slow you down. Maybe we're watching too much TV. I like to hit where I live. Maybe you're playing too much disc golf. Lord dealt with me on that because I was playing disc golf probably, 5-6 days a week. And one day he spoke to me as I'm out on the disc golf course and says, it seems like you're playing more disc golf than you are spending time in the Word. All of a sudden, my disc golf time became less. You know, so I'm quick to hear and I'm quick to obey. But there are some things you have to get rid of. There's some things that you'll have to do differently. You've been doing something the same way for so long that maybe there's a season that's now reached us that it's got to be done differently in order to be more effective. But then there's some place things you just leave in place. You know, some people say, you know, speaking in the church world, some people will go to the opposite extreme and say, we just need to get rid of all tradition out of our church. I don't think that's necessarily true. Matter of fact, I don't care who you are, if you think you're the most charismatic, liberal church there is, you've got tradition of some sort. But anyway, you know, but God, he sees in us what it is that we are destined to be. He sees the potential in us to reach that destiny. But like I said, there's some things that got to be gotten rid of. There's things you may have to do differently, and some things you just leave in place. But God knew each of us before we were born, and he saw the potential, and he had a plan for us. As I said earlier, everybody in this place has a supply. Vi, when she was passing out the bulletins, every time you walk past her, she's got a smile and she's laughing. Guess what? That's part of her supply. Making the coffee over there, the lattes with Brent and Luz. Brent is a front man. Brent is a people person. If you've noticed that, you know, he can talk to anybody. You can have a good time with him. I'm standing out in the sun with him on the deck yesterday, grilling over a hot grill. We were having a great time just standing out there talking. But he has a supply that he brings. That's part of his supply. That's part of what God placed in him. That's part of what he's to use to reach his full potential in Christ. But like I said, you know, before he was born, he set us apart. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans that I have for you. There are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. He had plans for us before we were even born. He had a future for us before we were even born. He had a biblical hope for us before we were even born, a confident expectation of everything that we would fulfill, the destiny He had for us. He knew all of that before we were even born. We had to choose to walk in it, but He had a plan. And like I said earlier, you know, you may say that I'm too young, but as we read in Jeremiah, he says, Jeremiah was saying, I can't speak for you, I'm too young. God, you know, God says, what I have in store for you, what He has in store for us, is not age-based. I'm trying to think of the passage where it talks about don't let people look down on your youthfulness. It's not age-based. What He has in store for the young people, it's not age-based. God speaks to each one of us. He has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And we're to walk it out, whether we're young or whether we are old. But everything He does is purpose-driven. He has a purpose for everything that He's called us to do. My granddaughter, Charlie, I brought her up before. I bring her up because she's just so funny. But and so is Penelope and Henry and Joelle. But Charlie in particular, when they were young, in their first year of their life, I said before that I wrote a song for their first birthday, and I would go into an actual recording studio with some band members, and we would record the song, and then I would make a slide presentation to go with it, and then I would give it to them as a birthday present on their first birthday. Now, here they are 1 year old. They really don't understand what was sung and what, you know, everything that was said, but it's something that over the years, I've had it in my car, and they'll ask me to play it over and over and over, her and Joelle both, over and over again. And song that I wrote for her was one called Big. And I wrote down here, I was going to actually play the song. I've got it on my phone. I was going to hook it up and we were going to play it. But I thought, we'll go this route here. And it's just the chorus. And it says, I know you're going to do big things. No doubt, Jesus helping you. Your name may never be in lights. I know you're going to do big things. Take time to listen to His voice. He speaks loud enough to hear. Your name always on His lips. I know you're going to do big things. And like I've said before, she's already at 10 years old, started to do some things. Been called in, they live in the city of Bourbonnais, and she was chosen to sit in the mayor's seat during a city council meeting, ran the gavel, and conducted the meeting in the town of Bourbonnais. She's been the baseball announcer for the local AAA team up in that area. She's in the booth and calling out the names and the positions over the microphone and just doing different things like that. And she's always looked to be a part of something that's bigger than she is. Playing with kids that are older than she is. Trying to keep up with people that are older than she is. One of the smartest kids in her class, so smart that the teacher had to develop another curriculum that stimulated her above the normal curriculum. I'm not saying other kids aren't smart in her class, but I'm just saying she's a smart kid. And I continue to this day to tell my kids and my grandkids, you guys are smart. There's a plan and a purpose for your life. There's nothing that you can't do. And I continue to encourage them. Carrie and I look for teachable moments when it comes to the things of God in our grandkids' life. If we're talking to them about a certain situation, they may be complaining about something. And that's an opportunity right there. Yeah, but you know what? Jesus says that, you know, if you do this, then this is going to happen. And like, oh, really? Yeah. So we look for those moments to constantly keep them, their mindset of God has a plan and a purpose for me. He has a destiny for me. And He sees the potential in me. We see the potential in our grandkids. We still see the potential in our kids, even though they're older now. But it's the same way here. You know, those who have kids need to be speaking those types of things. Now, did we discipline our kids? Yeah. My kids knew that there were boundaries. They knew that they stepped over that line, there was a price to pay. And I believe there's nothing wrong with that. And God treats us the same way. There are boundaries that we need to stay within. But you know what? He's loving in us. That He'll do whatever He can to keep us on that path to reach the destination that He has for each and every one of us. Now, somebody else might say, I'm nothing. Who am I to lead people? Who am I? What makes why would God put something in me? Why would he see potential in me? I've never accomplished anything. I'm too weak. I can't speak well. I can't keep saying I can't. Well, let's go to Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to start with verse 10. And I'm going to go ahead and read it because we're running short on time here. It says, God's talking to Moses. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I? Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Moses didn't see what God did. I probably got about 10 minutes. Just so you know. That's okay. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. But Moses didn't see it. He said, who am I to lead the people out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. But Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent me to you. Moses protested. He didn't see what God saw. He didn't understand how he, a person, as we'll read in here, that he was somebody who didn't speak well. Some people said he had a stuttering problem. He said his tongue always got tied. Who am I to lead these people out? God knew him long before he was born. He had a plan purpose for him. He knew that he would be in that desert there. He knew that Moses would have done all the things that he had done, how he was going to be raised in Egypt. And now he's calling him at 80 years old. And I'm saying, go back to Israel. I've heard the cry of my people. Bring my people out. And I'm giving you a game plan on how to do it. I'm showing you how to reach your destiny. I'm showing you the potential that you have that to bring these people out of this land, out of this cruelty that they're living in. You are my chosen one. But God, I can't speak. Well, guess what? Your brother Aaron is coming, and I'm going to send him with you, and you put my words into his mouth, and he'll be glad to go with you because he's a good speaker. So the destiny that God has for you, the potential that he sees in you, he doesn't let you off the hook even though you say, I can't. But God saw the potential in him. Gideon was another one in Judges chapter 6. It says, then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Go with the strength you have. Go with the people you have. You know, you might be the smallest tribe, but I'm telling you, go with the people you have and rescue Israel, he says, because I'm sending you. Anytime God sends you, know that you can go and be successful. If God's sending you, he says, I've got this thing that I want you to do. He saw potential in you, and he knows that you can do it. And he's saying, go and do it. Because why? Because I'm sending you. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. Already he's making excuses. Have we made excuses sometimes when God's told us to do something? Maybe. And I'm the least in my entire family. Not only we're the weakest tribe, but I'm the weakest one in my family, and you chose me to do this. I knew you before you were born, Gideon, and I called you to do this certain thing. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites, you and your small clan, who you think is so weak, you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Seeing a big group of people, and he says, you're going to destroy them as if you're fighting just against one person? That's a pretty convincing battle. God has a plan. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. God calls based on the potential he sees in you. He had a plan and a purpose. He knows you can do it. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it said, Peter and John standing basically before the church people. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. When they saw that they were uneducated and untrained, but I don't have any special ability. I don't know the word as well as some other people do. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. If he's called you to go do something, go do it. Because he'll be with you. Just like he told Gideon, go and fight them with what you got. Because I'm with you. Down here, whatever situation you face, go and do what you got to do. I've called you to do because I'm with you. I saw something in you before you were born. And when you were in your mother's womb, I called you and appointed you to do this certain thing. Things haven't changed today. He's known you before you're born. He saw you in your mother's womb. He's called you to do something, and he wants you to do it today. God, when he called me, he didn't call me because I was going to be the greatest preacher or the greatest teacher there was. I know people better than me, much better. And I might get it wrong sometimes. But you know what? He'll correct me when I do, and I'll be humble enough to receive his correction. But God chose me because he saw potential in me. He had a destiny for me. He called me because he knew that I would care for and love people. I'll tell you what, I'll go the extra mile for people here. I'm telling you, we've gone the extra mile for people. Can we do it all on our own? No, we can't. I can't do everything. But we'll go the extra mile, Carrie and I will, for people in this room. He knew that I would desire to see people saved. He saw the potential in me before I was born. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let us come and reason together. Come and talk to me. Let's lay things out on the table. Ask for forgiveness when we've messed up, and you'll be cleansed. Become white as snow. Become like wool. We can. If you've messed up and you've gotten off track on the destiny that God has for you, let's get it right. Let's get it together. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll do that. But let's just get it together and let's move on. Even though we mess up, he still sees the potential in us. He knows that we are capable of reaching that end goal. In verse 19, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If we are willing and obedient to walk out the path that he has set before us, we're going to eat the good of the land. Now, some people will say, man, I'll get all kinds of blessing to fall on me. Man, I'll tell you what, the good of the land is when you lead somebody to the Lord and they accept Jesus as their Savior. You're more excited in that moment than anything else. I mean, you're like on a high. You're like what they say, cloud nine, when you lead somebody to the Lord. That's where I am. But do we see ourselves as God sees us? Do we see the potential that he sees in us? Do we say, well, I'm just in a small little town, I'm in a small little church, I'm in a small little whatever? Well, that's why I like Zechariah chapter 4. Starting with verse 6, it says, then he said to me, to Zechariah, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It's not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him, and Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, and the people will shout, may God bless it, may God bless it. He starts with one stone and adds one stone to another stone and another stone to another stone. He's fulfilling the destiny. God saw the potential in him to build this foundation, and he lays one stone upon the other until it is finally completed, and there's a celebration. And in verse 8, it says, then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple. He reached his potential, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Do not despise look down on, count as worthless, detest, disrespect these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. Don't despise small beginnings. There's a work on the move. There's a work on the move in this place here. We may be small, but you know what? We're on the move. There's things that are in the works right now that we're going to move forward in. And I don't care if we have every seat in this place filled up. I hope we do. But I don't care if we have every seat in this place filled up. I want to know that we made a difference for the kingdom of God. He knew us before we were born. He had a plan. He had a purpose. He saw potential in us before we were born. And while we were in our mother's womb, He called us. He called us in this moment right here. Man, you guys, he's called you to do great things. Not just in LifePoint Church, but in your life in general, within your families. You're a light shining in your own personal families. There may be things in your family that it's, man, you wonder, man, that one there, I can't see how he'd ever get saved, how he'd ever get born again. Man, he's called you to be a light in a dark place. He sees in you the potential to do the things that he's called you to do. I'm going to end it with this here. God backs up all he sees in you. In Philippians 4:13, it says, this is the backup. It says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can. We should be saying, I can. Never say I can't. If you keep saying I can't, you might as well say I won't. It'll never happen. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses or spreads over a wide area covering many people the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And in Romans 8:37, it says, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor power nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And lastly, 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is who you are before you were born, while you're in your mother's womb, and who he called you to be, who he appointed you to be. You're more than a conqueror. You always walk in triumph. You're an ambassador for Christ. He trusts you to spread this message of reconciliation. I'm trying to get across to us here this morning that I don't think too many churches will preach a message on, man, you can do it. You've got it in you. I see the potential in you. God sees the potential in you to reach your destiny. Now, some people say, I believe, actually, you'll never reach your full potential on this earth. You'll finally reach your full potential and your final destiny when you're walking the streets of gold, when you're in heaven with him. That's when you reach the final, you reach your fullest of potential. But while we're here, he's called us to do certain things. And he sees something within us that we're able to do these things. These verses are where he saw you before you were born. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's true. Father, I thank you that you do see the potential in each and every one of us. And Father, as we make choices to walk out that potential, to walk out that destiny that you've called each and every one of us to, as we make choices, we know that we are backed up by all the forces of heaven. We don't ever have to walk in our own strength. I thank you that you remind us that we don't walk in our own strength, but that we walk in your strength, being led and guided by your Holy Spirit. Father, we hear people all the time talking about potential, what could be but hasn't happened yet. Father, I thank you that potential is that seed that is planted on the inside of us. And as we water it with your word and prayer, that seed begins to grow and we see our potential becoming bigger and stronger. And we begin to see what it is that you saw on the inside of us. So, Father, as we leave this place today, we know that we're not going to leave you here, but that you go with us and that your Holy Spirit does lead and guide us, that your Holy Spirit does speak things to us that come directly from the throne room of God, and he does show us things to come. Help us to release what you've planted on the inside of us with people that we talk with every day, whether it's on our job, whether it's at Walmart, wherever it may be, to see them one into the kingdom of God for your glory.